This Lena, how may I help you?
Hey Lena, it's Ruben at Cardiff. How are you doing?
Oh, hey, I'm good. How are you?
Crazy election.
Oh my gosh, it was crazy, wasn't it?
Lunatics. I have a question for you, or I got your email back. Thanks a ton. Is now an okay time?
Of course, yeah.
Cool. So titled vehicles, not my expertise. I've actually learned quite a bit about them over the last few years. And a lot of the different programs we have are really, people view them very differently. Are they fleets? Are they owner-operators? Are they local? Are they private party? My assumption is that for your title vehicle program, it's still the general Marlin business credit, good credit is what you're looking for, correct? It's not
yes,
like a different credit
it's
model.
It's the same. That's correct. It's the same credit model. We don't do private party sales.
Okay. Even for vehicles, okay.
And we won't do owner-operators. Like,
okay.
And over the road, like the big, you know, over the road sleepers.
Oh, so you don't want the 18 wheelers?
No.
So you want like a local van delivery kind of company?
Yeah, box truck, vans, tow trucks, dump trucks.
Oh, tow trucks. Okay. What's your
concession trailers?
Okay.
And are we
looking at like 75 grand as the app only limit on that as well?
It is, yes.
Okay. So the whole issue of fleet requirements and stuff, that's out the window.
Correct.
Okay, because and insurance, I'm sure you need that before funding, correct?
We certainly do.
Okay. Used equipment?
Up to 10 years.
Okay. Mileage restrictions?
Not really. It's more based on the condition.
Okay. What are other brokers doing with you in that space that makes them successful? Are they a specialty company for that specific type of equipment? Or are there specific customers that fit that mold?
What do you mean? I'm not understanding the question.
I always like to ask people kind of not, like, if someone, what is another Cardiff doing? Essentially, what is a company like Cardiff doing with Marlin that makes them successful and gets them a lot of deals booked in that industry? Are they a company that focuses specifically on, say, concession trailers? Are they a company that focuses specifically on tow trucks?
I mean, we have, we have brokers, I have brokers that do both of those that are successful, and we do a lot of trailers. Like a lot of trailers.
Like concession trailers?
Well, we do a lot of those, but we also do a lot of regular trailers, too.
What do you mean
like
by
regular,
trailers?
Flatbeds. We do car trailers. You know, what are they called? You know what I'm talking about, where they carry the cars.
But aren't those over-the-road companies? Aren't those interstate?
Sometimes. We won't do them if it's long haul.
Oh, so you won't do? Will you do a portion plate so they can cross state lines?
If it's local haul, yes.
Okay, so so basically we can send a deal to Marlin where someone's getting one of those trailers, but eventually goes back to home base if it's a real company, not
correct.
If it's a guy just driving a truck around.
Exactly.
Okay, so
and that's really what we're trying to avoid because we don't want a whole portfolio of owner operators.
Nor does anyone else, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So that's actually, I can kind of disseminate that information. That actually answers, like, that really helps me out because now it's not that whole fleet long distance. It's special, it's non-18 wheelers, which is very, very helpful.
Yep.
Cool. Real quick, and Amy's awesome to work with. I just want to make sure we weren't getting the wrong point across. We're not here to press on this piece of the rock deal. Our thought was that because of our history, I think, and I saw the email chain, when you get an email that says, hey, this customer has bad business credit, but here's their good tax return, that really doesn't help you, correct?
It doesn't.
I think the point that I was trying to get across was, I mean, I can have a conversation with the customer, but we're guessing that a lot of this business credit is wrong simply because it's out of place for this type of customer. They've never missed a payment on any of our other equipment agreements, from what I understand. We're doing a large transaction for them for $250 right now with no issues. So I thought some of that business credit might be inaccurate based on our experience dealing with them. And I was hoping, two questions. A, if I could find out, you know, D&B sometimes doesn't really report who it is, but if I could get some industry information, if I could get some of that information and ask the client about it, if I could get an explanation, if that would help you get this deal approved by showing that it's wrong.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Does that help or not?
Hang on for one second.
Sure, take your time.
Hang on. I'm sorry, Ruben.
No.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah, and by the way, if my phone goes, I'll call you back. We've had some phone issues, as an FYI. It's not me hanging up on you.
Yeah, no problem. Somebody just walked up behind me and started talking, and it just kind of messed me up here.
Welcome to my life. My thought is, I've actually worked with this customer multiple times. We're doing our, I think, third equipment loan for them. We're doing $250,000. We've never really had they've got perfect payment history with us, from what I understand. So, those transactions are actually being serviced by Ascentium Capital, so that's who they got sold off to. But from my thought is, when we see a customer like this who has good tax returns and a lot of money in the bank, and there's something showing up on DMV, it is actually quite common for us to speak to a customer and say, hey, look, you've been declined for X, Y, and Z reasons. The customer says, what are you talking about? I pay all my bills. I'm not late.
Yeah.
And I'm sure this is something you hear, correct?
Oh, sure. Of course.
Because from the customer perspective, and they go, who is saying this? And then DNB, you go there, and unfortunately on DNB, it really doesn't identify, from at least our side, it doesn't show you who the vendor is saying that they're late, just their category, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So I guess my question is, with Marlin, if there is something where you have someone who has pretty good credit, good financials, and money in the bank, not a reason for them to not be behind, if you can get additional information and say, hey, look, let's talk to the client and see if this stuff is accurate, because it might be wrong, and therefore a customer who's getting painted as a high-risk customer, they just have wrong information. You know, it's like having a wrong information on a personal credit report. Is it that? That's kind of where I was going with that conversation. I wasn't saying, here's some good tax returns, so don't worry about the bad credit.
Yeah. And, you know, and I mean, DMV is notoriously wrong, as you know.
Yes.
But, you know, my suggestion is always to the customer to call DMB to have them try to update it and fix it. You know, if they can say, hey, you know, this in this category, it looks like it might be this trade, and they're reporting it incorrectly because, you know, my terms with them are 90 days, and they're reporting it as, you know, being net 30. You know, that's always my suggestion back, is to have the customer go back and fix it, or you know, something, because there is no specific account that we can pinpoint and say, hey, it's your supplier for widgets, you know.
Okay. So basically, is there any way where you can pull, on this, say, this specific customer, an alternative business credit report and see if that's matching up, like Experian? That's what we pull, I believe.
If we can what? Send your Experian in?
No. We pull Experian business credit. Is there a way to pull another business credit report to see if this information is accurate, or is it kind of Marlin, is your credit model highly dependent on DMB?
It is dependent on DMB. However, we do pull other reports. We pull Experian business credit. We also pull an SBRI report.
Okay.
We pull PayNet.
Okay.
PayNet is pulled depending on the size of the deal, and, you know, if there's like a ton of time in business, you know, or something like. Peanuts expensive, as you can imagine. So, you know, they do pull them over 50,000, and sometimes below, but depends on the deal.
Okay, and then in terms of the customer, is this one, this piece of the rock, solely basically on DNB?
No, that was I believe the note said DNB and Peanut.
So and Peanut.
We had problems on both.
Okay. I don't know if you're allowed to send it to me, but are you able to send it over to me or Amy, those reports, so we can take a look at them, or no?
Yeah, unfortunately I'm not. I get asked that all the time, but we're because we're publicly traded, we can't send any of that information out.
Okay. All right. One other question. Is it possible to see what, and I don't know if you can share with me or not, I don't want to monopolize your time, is there one category that's destroying this guy's PayNet or Paydex, or is DMB, or is it a lot of stuff?
It's a bunch of different things. Well, PayNet is other loans or leases reporting in, so.
And they're showing late?
Yes.
That's so weird. We've done so many deals with this guy, and I don't think we've ever had an issue. Okay.
Mm.
It kind of is what it is. I'm not going to fight it. And then on DNB, I guess one other question I asked you, one of the things that customers tell us is they kind of don't want to pay for DNB. Do you know if customers are allowed to call DNB and kind of fight what's out there without paying for that service, or no? I just would ask you, because you probably have much more experience on that.
Yeah, they used to have it where you could go online and do it, but
okay.
I'm not sure if they do that anymore. I haven't really run into that. I know they can call in, but they, of course, always try to sell them something when they call in, so it is a big pain, and basically the customer has to be prepared to be on the phone for a while.
Elena, give me 10 seconds here. Give me 10 seconds. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hi, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Okay, so basically on this one, the customer is going to go DMB, but my assumption is that will take months to fight. That's not a quick fix. Okay.
Yeah, sometimes. It depends on how, I imagine it depends on who you get on the phone, and it depends on what kind of information the customer is willing to provide to prove.
Okay. All right. So on this
Which
one,
it's interesting because you know when they report the information, they don't require proof. But then when you go to fix it, they require proof. So that's where the money comes in, I imagine.
it's very just interesting for this specific customer because it sounds so. I'm not the customer's consigliere. It just sounds very out of place for based on the history we have for him. But you know, when I'm kind of the person I always say, well, if someone says, if I say, hey, business credit shows you're late, they go, no, I'm not late. And I see their bank account and they have 10 bucks in it. Then I go, oh, well, you know, this is someone just trying to sell me. But when I see someone that has 150 grand in the bank and they're saying it's late, then I'm like, okay, either something, you know what I mean? Something's up. But, okay, I appreciate your time. The titled vehicle thing is very interesting. So to me, what I'm really hearing is a lot of local specialty stuff. No 18-wheelers. We do not want those. Actually, the last question is, do you guys discount on the title vehicles or no?
Yeah, you can discount, sure.
Okay, but docs are in Marlon's name, is that correct?
No, they can be in your name.
Oh, they can?
Yeah, well, you can't discount if the docs are in our name.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you can discount on titled vehicles.
Oh, is we it just, that you make them though, right?
Yeah, we have to create the docs.
Okay. Okay, so, all right. And then last question is, do you pre-fund untitled vehicles?
Yes.
Okay, is it 50% or is it easy approval?
No, we do 100.
100, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything exciting going on your end?
Anything exciting, let's see. Not really. Nothing else too exciting.
Okay. From what I know, funding stream is up to 150 now. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
It's pretty cool, right?
It's a very interesting industry.
It is.
I saw your guys' post on leasing news. That was pretty interesting.
Which one?
There was a story where...
They make up stuff about us all the time. They don't like us.
No, it wasn't actually that.
Oh, I was going to say, is it because they were saying that, oh, we're not taking on brokers and blah, blah, blah?
Let's see. It basically said, I can tell you. Give me one second. It basically said, and who knows if it's true. It's something with the broker. It basically said... that I got, there was a conference call, or I guess when you guys announced your financials, the idea was, we want to work with a few brokers, we're not going to be pressured into doing anything, what's going on in the broker-vendor marketplace is pretty damn scary.
Yeah, if you listen to if you actually listen to the whole entire recorded call, you'll see that what we said is we offer it to a select group of brokers.
Oh yeah, that's what it said. Like and we're not going to be like pressured in. I agree with what you guys are saying.
Yeah,
actually.
We're not taking any of the these mom pop guys that just pop up out of nowhere. You know what I mean? So basically, what we're saying is we want only brokers that are working with us on both sides. We're not going to just take the ISOs out there that are just randomly popping up. And we're very careful and in my opinion, being that I was a broker for Marlin for many years.
Oh, you were? Where did you work?
I worked for myself.
Well, okay.
And I was a broker for with Marlin. I think the reason that Marlin survived the economic crash is because of, you know, our conservative nature. You know, yeah, we're a little more picky than a lot of people. And yes, you know, I understand, you know, I get emails all the time. Oh, this one got declined. You know, you declined this one, but I got it approved at such and such bank. You know, and that's great. But it's, you know, I'm glad you got it done. You know what I mean? I don't get paid unless the deal gets done. So I'm pushing. But on the flip side, I think that's the reason that Marlin survived all those, you know, all those rough years.
Yeah, I mean,
we want to be around forever, you know.
I think things go both streets. I'm not the owner of Cardiff. I've just worked here for a while. So if you have any, I mean, I've been here 9.5 years. So if you have any ever have any questions, Elena, like, hey, what are other, you know, what are some things that are going on? I don't think anyone's going to rewrite a credit manual. I mean, that's not the point. But I remember meeting with some people. So if there's ever a question you have, like, hey, like, what is the average customer getting? What kind of loans can they get? I'm happy to share that with you and kind of tell you what I see on my side of the fence. It is very interesting. Marlin's model is very conservative, I think, compared to a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's not me saying a good or bad thing. That's just, I can understand it. You guys don't want to have someone, I mean, there's lenders now that are giving people 30%. I've seen customers where 30% of their revenue is going to pay back loans.
It's crazy.
So you have someone who's generally doing like 200 grand a month and literally 60 grand is going to service loans.
That's just crazy.
If you ever have any questions, I know sometimes I ask a lot, feel free to call me. I'm more than happy to share and give you any insight you want.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we may take you up on that. I may get Kathy on the phone with us because she may have questions too.
Yeah, it's a zoo, as I call it.
Yeah.
Last question I do have for you on the Funding Stream program. When we did meet with some people, there was a lot of talk of longer terms. I think that, and I guess the question I'd ask you is, on a lot of loan applications that you're getting, I'm assuming that a lot of them are including payoffs of current balances. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, because I know we see deals from Marlin where someone, you know, I think we saw a deal the other day where someone paid off Marlin, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's great. You guys get your money back and are made whole. But I remember one of the key points was brokers like working with us because on a 24-month term, it's a great deal for the customer because the cost is so low. I think,
right.
I don't know, what is your buy rate over 24 months?
I don't even have that quoting tool in front of me. We send it out to the brokers to you guys to.
But it's pretty low, I think.
It's pretty low. It's a lot.
It's not like a 1.4 buy rate.
No.
So I guess the question I'd ask is this. And I just see them select, I'm not copying on card emails, but I see some approvals that come through Marlin, and I see a lot that are on shorter terms. So I guess the question I'd ask you is the 24-month term kind of gone the way of the buffalo, or is that something just for severely, you know, like kind of not the overqualified, but the strongly qualified candidate?
Yeah, I mean, they do reserve that for, you know, stronger credits. But
okay.
I do see it go out, I mean, all the time. It's, and what they do is they try to review every deal for the longest term possible.
Okay.
Unless it's specifically asked for, like, hey, this guy only wants a 9-month term or whatever.
Gotcha.
So they do try to review it for, you know, for the longest term.
Okay. And then the last question, two questions. You guys don't place a UCC, correct?
Correct.
The other thing is interest forgiveness. Some of the partners we work with do offer that program, and they actually provide an amortization schedule that says, look, here is the disc, here is the amount of interest remaining. So if the customer pays off, here's their X percentage discount. If they renew, here's the remaining of interest forgiven. Is that something that Marlin provides?
We do. And I believe if they pay it off early, there's a 5% discount.
Correct.
But yes, if they renew, there is a forgiveness. I'm looking for my sheet here. Forgiveness on the interest.
But yeah, if we can, I was wondering just to make sure if we ask you so we can show a customer. It's one thing for us to tell a customer, yeah, your interest is forgiven. A lot of customers, I think, in this industry, they want something to write. They've been told a lot of things.
I think it's actually in the document.
But I guess the question is, how do you calculate the amount of interest forgiven? That's that we actually say, here's an amortization schedule. Look, you're going to do a 12-month term. you guys can renew at, what, the halfway point, correct?
Yes.
So I think a lot of our customers, or enough of our customers, we have run across deals where we want to tell them. I mean, I'll just share with you and maybe give you a little insight. We just got a deal done, which probably is kind of crazy. It's a $250,000 deal at an 18-month term. We're making very little on the deal. I think it's a 1-2-4. All right?
Okay.
But we can actually show the customer, hey, Mr. Customer, at 9 months, if you renew, here is the amount of interest that is being waived. Here's an amortization schedule because the customer is shopping at 25 different places. You know, that deal doesn't go to Marlin because it's 250, obviously. But the question is, does Marlin provide some schedule where the customer can actually identify, hey, here's how much interest is remaining?
That's a good question. We do get that request for like an amortization type thing.
Yeah.
And I believe we provide it. I'm just trying to... I don't know how they actually figure it out.
That's what I'm kind of asking because I didn't know that answer for a long time.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's something I can find out though.
Yeah, if you could find out and let me know, it'd be great. That'd be really helpful. And then, like I said, thanks again for your time. I'm going to pass
on this
equipment information on the title vehicles. And then, other than that. You know, take it from there. I actually have to do one other quick question about exposure. I'm going to ask you one more question. If a customer has a current Marlin deal, and it's whether it's through us or not through us, and they have a current Marlin lease, can they get working capital, or is it the total exposure? It's either one or the other.
No, they can get working capital, too.
Okay. Is there a limit on that? Like if you have a customer that comes in with, you know, X dollars of exposure that we can submit? And the reason I'm asking is, I'm not being around the bush. We have customers that come in and say, hey, look, they tell us, hey, we have a Marlin lease that's a few months old or X old, and we did X dollars, and they want some working capital, but we don't know if that's something that we can submit to you guys.
Yeah, you can. So what you would do is when you submit the leasing application or the whichever one is second, you would just put in your write-up that, you know, that we have done a working capital transaction with this customer, blah blah blah, so that it's full disclosure.
I'm not asking. I'm saying, like, let's say a customer has a Marlin lease already. Let's say they owe you guys $50,000 on that total payments. Can they be submitted for additional exposure on the funding stream product?
Yeah.
Oh, they can. Okay.
Yeah, they're not competitive products, so it's.
Oh. Okay.
It's fine.
Okay.
We don't offer a monthly working capital, so.
Cool. And last question, do you guys do soft pulls on equipment and working capital right now, or is it hard pulls on credit?
We don't. They're hard pulls.
Okay.
I don't know for working capital, but I know for regular leasing, it's hard pulls.
Okay. Perfect. Well, let me know if you could on that amortization, and I'll hopefully, you know, once again, thanks again for the time. Call me anytime if you have any questions.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elena.
Talk to you later, Ruben.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.